Hi, my name is Rich. Welcome to my podcast. I have a question for you today. What time is late? One of the most interesting things I've found about living overseas is that time is defined in different ways. So if someone invites you for dinner and says, come at 6 p.m., and you arrive at 6:10, are you late? For my German friends, oh yes, you're late. For my American friends, oh yes, you're late. For my Indian friends, African friends, Latin American friends, no, you're not late. Someone invites you at 6 and you show up at 7 or 7:30, you're right on time. God is often that way. In our book, he's very late. Our definition of timing, he often shows up at the last moment. Actually, he shows up at a time when everything has fallen apart. Once again, we see this character quality of God coming out in a story that we're going to see today of Moses parting the Red Sea. It's a very common story, but a very common principle, a very common character quality that once again is demonstrated by God. He leads us into impossibilities. He wants us to learn to be strong in him, not weak and fainting. He wants us to trust him. He wants, when all hope is gone and everything else, that we learn to experience his miracle working power. And the only way he can do this is to lead us down the long way, down what seems to be the wrong way, the difficult road. If you'd like to read this story for yourself, it's found in Exodus chapter 13 and 14. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read these Bible stories, I have to do a couple of things. Number one, I have to tell myself these are not fairy tales. This is not like Santa Claus at Christmas, and when you grow up, you sort of grow out of these cute little make-believe stories. These were real people, real events. Number two, the events that they faced were far greater than anything I have ever faced in my life. Constantly, the Jewish people faced the annihilation of their entire race. That is something bigger than I have ever faced in my life, so I have to remind myself that these stories are relevant to me. My problems are not as big as this, therefore God can work in my life like he worked in their situations. As we begin this story, we need to remember that the Jewish people were just leaving Egypt at this time. They had been slaves there for 400 years. Hey, think about that. That would be like going back to the 1600s. That's a long time. And as you read the text, you can see that they're obviously under the mindset of an abused person, an abused people. Their tyrants have ruled over them for 400 years, and they're so used to just submitting and surrendering. And you know the story, as Moses attempted to lead them out, and there were the story of the plagues, things got worse for them, and they complained bitterly, because there is great risk when you're stepping out from underneath a tyrannical rule. Hey, there's a lot to learn right here for anyone who's been living in an abusive relationship, whether it's church, whether it's marriage, whether it's an employer's relationship. There is an easier place to stay in the abuse than to step out because it takes great risk, it takes great trust, it takes great miracles of God to deliver you. So when we pick up the story in chapter 13 of Exodus, here we see these people who have been under this tyrannical abuse for years. Now they're making their way out of Egypt, following Moses, and all they have are their possessions, animals, their children. They don't have any weapons of war. And off they go into the wilderness, following Moses, who's following the Lord. But how does the Lord lead them? Well, of course, instead of taking the easiest way, up from Egypt into Canaan, which would be a very short route, he took them the opposite way, the long way, down by the sea. Fortunately, in this text, we are given two reasons why the Lord led them the long way. First reason is that because if they went the short way and they've met with war straight away, they'd be tempted to run straight back to Egypt. Second thing, the Lord wanted to show him his power and how they need to learn how to fight and trust in him for warfare, and they were going to learn that lesson right away. And here again, I find a really good personal application, and that is, so many times we are weak in heart, fainting in heart, and the Lord wants to train us to fight and be strong in the Lord. Now remember, we don't take up weapons, physical weapons, and harm those that we are warring against or who are against us. We fight and wrestle in prayer, and we give things to the Lord, but sometimes we have to be bold and courageous and take some very strong steps. And God does not want us to be fainting and weak. He wants us to learn not only to war in the Spirit, but to take those courageous and bold steps that are going to also help us experience miracles and deliverance from his hand. Here is where the story picks up now. The Lord led the people down to the sea, and he made it look as though they didn't know where they were going. And so Pharaoh observed this. And the Lord drew Pharaoh out, and Pharaoh began to chase the people, thinking they don't know where they're going. They're lost. They're hemmed in by the sea. I will get my armies and pursue them and kill them. And so as the people of Israel saw the Egyptian army coming with Pharaoh, they began to panic and they began to complain. They made this very famous complaint that they usually make. Moses, they said, were there not enough graves in Egypt that we couldn't be buried there? Is that why you brought us out here? Obviously, we're going to die. So I guess this is a large place for graves, and that's why you've brought us here. So it's a very cynical answer. At the same time, please understand the misery, the problem, the depth of the seriousness of the issue they were facing at this moment, because they were about to be completely annihilated. Wow. But here again, we learn a great principle about the Lord, something of his quality. He might be doing a work in your enemy's life. You see, the more that Pharaoh hardened his heart, the greater his pride became, the greater his fall would be, the greater his humiliation. So part of the lesson here is not only the Lord's deliverance, but the Lord's way of humiliating the enemies of Israel. And he wants to do the same thing for you. Don't try to take revenge. Leave space for God to do work on those who have opposed you, those who are making it difficult for you. Leave his revenge against them in his hands. Don't take that onto yourself. Follow with what he wants. Keep your eyes on where he's going and watch his deliverance and miracle power, because that's what the Jews were about to experience. So there they were. The sea on one side, nowhere to go, and on the other side, the army of Pharaoh hotly pursuing them to wipe them out. What would they do? They began to complain. They grumbled. Moses stood up and said these famous words. Listen to this. This is the key of the entire story. Moses said, "Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord." Listen to that. I'll read it again. "Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord." Hey, where are you right now in that problem? Are you at the complete end of it? You don't know where to turn? Then look up to the heavens, cry out to the Lord, step back, and watch God work. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord in your life. Now, as the Lord said that to the people through Moses, the Lord then moved his angel and the cloud that had been leading them to the back of the people to block Pharaoh from attacking the people. Then something miraculous happened. The sea opened. Now, for you and I who know this story, we can see this and think, well, so what? I know this story, but wait a minute. How many times have you ever seen a lake, a sea, a river open wide so you could walk through? This doesn't happen. This is a complete, huge miracle that God performed. The sea opened. And I find it beautiful because God will oftentimes do something that is absolutely impossible, that never, never happens. For example, I remember when my wife completed her immigration and needed her swearing-in ceremony, and she was told by an immigration official, "I'm sorry, all the slots are filled. We only do 500. We never do 501. Long story short, a lot of prayer, intervention by some people, and she was allowed to be number 501. And when she left the swearing-in ceremony that day, she shook the hand of the man who said, "There's never 501. And she looked him in the eyes and said, "Number 501, I told you, if God wants it, he will do it." And that's what the Lord does. Parting the seas for you and for me, he creates a way where there was no way possible. He is the way maker. Through the sea, he led the people. It says that the sea split, a wind blew to dry out the seabed, and the people walked across. They walked across on dry land. When they reached the other side and the last of the Jewish people exited the seabed, by this time, Pharaoh and his army had begun to pursue across the sea. And the Lord allowed them to also walk across that dry seabed, only partially, because when they got into the sea, then the Lord released the sea from being held back. The sea returned to its place and swallowed up the entire army of Pharaoh and drowned them. Hey, listen, stories like this in the Bible are so crazy. They are either fake and make-believe, stories that are relegated to Sunday school classes to make children feel good, or they're real. And I believe this is the real God of Israel who is really at work today. He's not any older today than he was 3,500 years ago when he performed these miracles for Moses and the Jewish people. This same God can part the seas for you and for me. Listen to that verse. Make this your verse for this week, for this month. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch what God will do when you call on his name.